This is TWiT.
All right, from something fairly serious to something really that has very little, if anything at all, to do with technology law. But various listeners sent it my way, knowing our interest in copyright. And of course, knowing everyone's interest in cheese. So speaking of the EU, its highest court has an interesting decision that involved a dispute between manufacturers of really delicious sounding cheese spread involving scallions and herbs. And it just makes me want to parsley and leeks. I just want to stop the show and go eat some of this. I can't pronounce what it's actually called. Hexnikaz is my best attempt at a Livola product, which thankfully has an English surname as well, which is cheese, made from cream cheese and herbs and vegetables, including parsley and leek and garlic. And then there was another company called Smilda with its own herbed cheese dip with many of the same ingredients. And creatively enough, Livola, the creator of the witch's cheese, decided to bring a suit claiming that the taste of its cheese was copyrighted. And the EU's high court said, no, we really don't think that taste is something that can be sufficiently objective, sufficiently identifiable to be subject to copyright protection. But it did seem to leave some wiggle room. I thought it's really interesting to read the New York Times piece on this as to if you were to craft some sort of, I guess, description of your cheese or have your cheese here we go. We have an expert in this piece. The chairman of Intellectual Property Technology and Communications Group at the law firm of Baker & McKenzie, who comes out and says, for anyone who wants to protect taste, smell, touch, those sorts of sensory perceptions of a product, it pretty much takes copyright off the table. But I am gleaning that if you were to have a taste that was sufficiently objectively identifiable, you might have some wiggle room here. What do you think, Stefan? Is that just too big a stone to try and push up the hill?
So I don't know what the underlying statute there says. If it doesn't protect taste or smell on its face, I have a hard time reading that into whatever the original language would be. And if it did protect it, presumably this case wouldn't have been controversial. So let's start with the assumption that you don't protect taste. I don't see how you get from traditional expressions of copyright to taste without a serious revision of the language of the statute. So this seems to be the right decision. I think in the article, it refers to it's a discrimination of senses, that something you can taste with your mouth is not protectable by copyright. And that has to be one. I have to imagine this person was to some degree joking. If not, that's got to be one of the oddest invocations of the concept of discrimination I've ever seen. But in any case, this is a funny story. I hope that we don't see copyright litigation spiraling out of control related to the taste of beer, for example. There's a lot of companies making similarly flavored hoppy IPAs. If they start suing each other, that'll be a death knell for civilization as we know it, I think.
Right. The other way in which maybe a food could be copyrighted, it's pointed out here, is sort of in line with the Star Athletica, the cheerleading uniform design case that we've talked about from the United States Supreme Court, where it really, if it's more of the visual aspect of the food that's being copyrighted, maybe there's a path, an easier path toward there, toward copyright there. So, It just is a fascinating case, and sorry, there's not much of a tech tie-in here, but our tech-loving audience loves cheese, apparently, too, because a few different people sent me this article and wanted to make sure that I saw it. So thank you for that, and now I'm just hungry.
I will add one thing, though. If you get into an environment where, let's say, you're making lab-grown meat, and that the lab-grown meat is being manufactured through the use of some source code, for example, you would program the device, and that source code is copyrighted. And let's say, for whatever reason, the algorithms and the code that's necessary to make really delicious lab-grown meat are narrow, and it's very difficult for anybody to kind of come up with an alternative, then you could see maybe copyright protection coming into the picture that way, where you're using a program to make something real. You can't protect the thing, but maybe you can protect the underlying source code. And if the only way you can grow that lab meat is through the use of those algorithms and source code, then maybe you get to it that way. So it's not impossible for me to imagine a scenario where you've got copyright protection affecting things people eat, but it would have to be in that indirect using something that is otherwise copyrightable to arrive at the food. That's kind of the only way I can imagine existing laws capturing it.
Right. And what you're describing would involve some patent protection too, if you had developed some perhaps patentable approach toward creating a certain taste. So maybe there would be IP protection in another way as well. But here the tasty cheese seems to have not garnered the copyright protection of the High Court of the EU.